This is the November 19th meeting of the PNB Governance Committee. I'm George Ryder, and the chair, and I'm going to ask Colleen O'Brien, the secretary, to call the roll. Colleen, would you call the roll?
Okay. Ken Aaron? Sharon Agamera?
Present.
Carolyn Burden?
Present.
Lydia Brazone? Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis?
Joseph Kay's on.
Kathy Davis?
Lydia?
Okay, Gail Dixon?
Gail's not a member any longer.
I'm sorry. Sasha Futron? Joseph Kay?
Yes, I'm on.
Lizette King? Bob Litter? R. Paul Martin?
Here.
Brenda Medina?
Present.
Colleen O'Brien? Here. Marcel Reed?
Here.
George Ryder?
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
John Wenger?
Okay, whoever just came on, who is that?
Sasha.
Okay. And Lydia.
So Sasha and Lydia are also here.
Thank you.
Okay, so you all should have gotten an agenda a little bit earlier. And I'll just read the agenda. The first item will be approval of the agenda. The second item is approval of minutes. I sent the minutes out a few moments ago, but we had agreed that we would give people 7 days notice before trying to approve them, so I'm not going to ask that they be approved at this meeting. A chair's report, there's two motions on the floor. Both were referred by the PNB. One is, I've called it confidentially in committees. Basically, the problem was sent to the governance committee, and I put together this motion to handle it. It reads, whereas the agreement to keep confidential all matters discussed in executive session applies to committees and subcommittees of the PNB that need to meet in executive session, and whereas it is PNB policy that the only information that can be reported out of executive session is that which is agreed upon by the members at the session, it is therefore the policy of the PNB that any member of a committee or subcommittee who is unwilling to meet that standard of confidentiality shall be required to recuse themselves from executive sessions of the committee or subcommittee. So that's one motion. The next one was referred, has been on the agenda for quite some time, was referred to the governance committee for review. And it was originally put on by Kathy Davis. Be it resolved that any person or member of the Pacifica Foundation that acts with malice and or violence and or levies threats, either verbal or physical, against Pacifica staff members of the LSD or PNB should be disqualified from membership and participation in Pacifica governance. Further, any person or member of the Pacifica Foundation who acts to limit or undermine the fundraising and or function of the Pacifica Foundation or its radio stations and broadcast licenses should be disqualified from membership and participation in Pacifica governance, and that any person or member of that Pacifica Foundation who acts to undermine, counterbalance, destroy, or limit the Pacifica bylaws should be disqualified from membership and participation in Pacifica governance. So those are the two items that are on the agenda. Does anyone have anything they'd like to add to the agenda?
I've been John Wenger, just joined the call. Could you repeat the first item, please?
Yeah. Confidentiality in committees is the name of the motion. Whereas the agreement. Let me repeat the whole thing or just that?
No, that's enough.
Okay, George, I'd like to add an item.
Yeah, Joseph, go ahead.
That's Joseph K. from Houston.
Yeah.
I request that this committee consider that the matter of employees and other and volunteers who are acting on the station property as a volunteer in such a way as to be considered almost an unpaid employee or member, agreed to submit conflicts to a mediating body or an unofficial or some designated body set up to receive such matters and to consider ways to resolve them before they go to mediation or legal action. And that so, agreed as for employees, especially to agree to comply with that as well.
So you want to put a, do you have a motion or you still have a discussion? As I understand it, you want employees to agree to some internal procedure for adjudication of disputes before going to arbitration. Is that correct?
Yes, but I wouldn't use the word adjudication, but willingly participate in conflict resolution procedures that are currently available to people in organizations, and they're very well commonly used. And that be a motion.
Okay. Can you put that in the form of a motion? I didn't quite get a motion out of that.
Oh, okay. This body moves that the Pacifica National Board consider making a condition of participation as a staff employee or volunteer in the Pacifica Foundation to resort to submit conflicts for resolution before legal actions or other such procedures.
Okay. Can I put that after the motion by Kathy Davis?
Sure. Absolutely.
And would you write that up and send it to us?
I shall.
Is that John?
Yeah, this is John Winger. I have something to do.
Okay, what's that?
Basically, our election at KPFK is a mess. I just read something that Bob Letter sent out to Michael Novick, because there's a situation at WBI where they wanted to schedule 10 people in a forum. We have a similar problem tonight at KPFK where they scheduled 8 people into a forum designed to handle 5 people or max 7 people, and they told us if we didn't like it, we could wait a week and do it next Tuesday. So the bylaws require us all to have equal time to present our cases to the listeners, and our local election supervisor is frankly, it's his first time in doing this sort of stuff, and our programming director has been around for 10 or 15 years, and when the new LES asked for only 5 one-hour sessions, the programming director should have told him, hey, you need a lot more than that. But he didn't. He just said, okay, he gave him exactly what he asked for, but not what he needed. So as a consequence, tonight, 8 people are going on the air. I'm supposed to be one of them. I decided I'm not going to do it because the bylaws say that I get equal time. And also, I wanted to be on this call. And we'd ask for another meeting tomorrow, another forum tomorrow. And they told us, no, you got to wait a week. But as the fact is, there's an opportunity that's closing. The people are getting have their ballots now, and people are voting. And so it's a losing opportunity here. And since governance really is almost everything that Pacifica does, it strikes me that the way we conduct our elections and dealing with these kinds of issues, this is a governance matter. If we don't conduct our elections in a reasonable way and don't follow our rules, then we are destroying our foundation. And so I'd like to make it I'm not sure if we can have a motion on this. I would like to come up with a motion. The Elections Committee will, of course, claim it is their purview, and that's fine. But we need action, and we need it right now because the votes are being counted and people are voting even this afternoon.
So would you like to point the enforced, and this is another example of unfairness. Your amendment specifically was to ask not only that she do it, but that she get some documentation back to us or to the PNB or
right to receive some report back from them on how they managed to do that. So, and that they did it.
Okay. and she could deliver that then presumably at the next PNC meeting.
Yeah, because the matter of nonfeasance seems to be pretty endemic in this Pacifica National Organization. People say they're going to do something, but you know, without following up, often it just gets ignored and there's excuses. And I can tell you there's 100 ways to make excuses. And this is about integrity. And that it counts a whole lot. And we're talking about it, Israel and the war. Gaza. This, too, is about integrity. That they're all wrapped up together.
Okay.
Sasha for the stack.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Sasha.
Sasha, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add a couple of quick notes. You know, I'm assuming this information as to when the debates occurred will be in the LES's reports at the end of the election season, but, you know, it might behoove us to also have something to that effect in this motion so that, you know, one can actually, you know, not only ask was it implemented and how it was implemented, but, you know, it would really be important to have the actual schedule. The other thing I want to say is that, you know, I think one of the things this has brought out is that, first of all, every station is handling this somewhat differently, both management staff and the local LES. And that it seems to me that setting some criteria that is uniform across all the stations in terms of the timing of debates and things of that nature and the number of people and the number of hours, that it would be a very good idea for the election of the government's committees to get together on this in a sense, or each of them, you know, come up with something in the future when we're not in an election mm-hmm. season that adds yeah. some uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
Throw that as a suggestion.
For future work, sure. Anyone else want to speak to Joseph's amendment?
Can we hear it read?
Yeah, Joseph, would you read it?
Again, this committee requests that the IED communicate the urgency to require the management, including the PD and others involved, ensure the fairness of the election process by, you know, in implementing the requirements of the election process as defined by the, you know, there are some definitions in our PM.
So did you actually have it written down somewhere?
No, I don't.
Okay, so the sense of it, as I get it, is that we're going to ask the IED to not only ask for compliance with the policy, but also to ask for
confirmation. Yes.
A confirmation from the PDs that the policy was actually complied with.
As soon as possible, I think, urgently, because people are getting... You know, they get real upset, and it's a matter of the integrity of the process. So we're going to be fair, make sure that the elections are fair. And that's what seems to be coming up.
So it seems to me that if we endorse the main motion, which really was endorsing the
mm-hmm.
Elections Committee motion, which is not a request to the IED, that if we add to it that we request that the IED... see to it that the policy be implemented and ask for confirmation that it has been
yes.
essentially accomplished what I think I hear people want. So I take it that's the substance of Joseph's amendment.
Right.
Is there any objection to that?
Mr. Chair?
Yeah. Well,
can we hear the secretary read what she says so we know exactly what we're voting on?
Read what who says?
To read what this amendment exactly says.
There was no written version of it sent out. I'm sort of rephrasing it as we stand. So
right.
let me try to give that a definite phrase. Let me just say it again as close as I can to what I just said. That the governance committee endorses the motion from the election committee and request that the IED see to it that the fairness provisions are implemented and that the PDs are requested to provide a confirmation that this has happened.
Mrs. Bob? Yeah.
Is that what you had intended, Joseph?
Yes, yes. That's the essence of it.
Okay, Bob?
Yeah, that's almost it, but we have to be careful about words like fairness provision, because there actually is something in a formal rule set of rules called the campaign fairness provisions, which is completely different, and the management should have nothing to do with that whatever. So what you're talking about is not the – I mean, it's true that by providing equal time, that is a form of fairness, but it's too – potentially confusing. So I would just say, see whatever your language will see to it that the provisions about time for candidate forms are adhered to.
Okay.
Or the
policy.
Yeah. Not broader fairness.
Yeah, it's true.
Okay.
If at all possible, with the the people involved comply or agree with the changes as well, so their sentiment and their thoughts.
Let me try to say again what the elections committee motion is clear. It's done. The amendment is that we support that motion and ask the IED to
communicate.
See to it that the equal time for candidates at candidate forums provisions are implemented, and that we get a confirmation, that she gets a confirmation back from the PDs that that happens.
I'm sorry.
My apologies for not being able to say it exactly the same way.
The equal time is not the nub of it. It's about the more time. They currently are getting...
It is in the policy that it's five people per hour, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's the key. It's the quantity,
yes.
Not the equality. The current arrangements are, in some stations, were equal. That wasn't what was wrong with them. It's that they weren't sufficient. They weren't enough hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's put in the 1 hour per five candidates rule. That's the thing that's the essence. Let's make sure that's not just referred to indirectly. Let's put it out explicitly to make sure that the IED ensures that each candidate gets, each five candidates get 1 hour.
Yeah, and don't forget your earlier phrase that we agreed to about the within 10 days or as soon as possible.
Yeah,
that's there already.
Marcel to the stack.
Go ahead, Marcel.
The question I have is how would the PDs or GMs confirm that this had been complied for? Would they do it in writing? Would they simply answer somewhere over the phone?
Writing.
Okay, but it's not stated.
Let's state it.
To send an email, to confirm by email that this such and such happened.
Okay.
Sufficient. That's sufficient. Thank you for that suggestion.
A good one.
I'm scribbling as we write here so we can get something definite as we speak. Okay, so I'm not getting the wording. So the gist of it is we want what we're asking the IED to do is to provide 5 hours. Sorry. An hour with five people on it for candidates to make their pitch, and we would like to have the PDs respond in writing that they've actually done so. Is that correct? Is that the substance of it?
It's most of the substance of it, but part of the problems are the LESs. There's kind of a loophole because The LESs are empowered to ask for what they, the resources from the station for what they need to run the election. But some of the LESs are newbies. They're green people. And the programming directors are these older, wily people. And so they, if the LES doesn't ask, then the PED just says, well, I've given the LES everything he asked. The LES needs to both be directed to ask, and the PD needs to be directed to grant.
John, this doesn't say anything about what the LES asks. It asks that the IED implement the policy, see to it that the policy is implemented, and it would presume
that
even if the local election supervisor didn't do it.
That's perfect.
George, did you state it to say that the IED direct the PD and the GMs to follow the procedures for the fair elections, for the elections?
Yes.
Leave out the word fair if you want, but so it should be all of them, you know, not just this specific one. The entire set of, you know, how it should be run. They, you know, whoever has it, has a list of items.
I don't know.
And of
course, the issue at the moment was the 5 hours.
Right.
Sorry, the 5 people per hour. If we want to extend that, which I believe is the only issue that was addressed by the Elections Committee, is that correct, Bob?
Yes.
Okay. If we want to extend it, then we're going to have another discussion.
Oh, why would we have to have another discussion? Because
I thought you were suggesting that you wanted to have the IED see to it that all the requirements of the fair elections.
Well, I guess this is an example of doing that, following the procedures. You know.
Okay. So
there may be others as well. So it's kind of like this: you send a message out that says follow all of them, not just this one, and get away with all the others that you might be not doing. No. Make it whole, WHOLE.
Yeah. John, for the queue?
Do you want to introduce? So I'm sort of trying to come to a conclusion on this.
Thank you.
This amendment, okay? The substance of it is that we ask the IED to see to it that PMBs give every candidate an opportunity to be on the air as part of one of 5 candidates in an hour, and that we get a confirmation in writing that that's happened. Now, what you're saying now is an extension of that is different. If you want to make another amendment after
No, I don't want to do that. I thought it could be worded in such a way that it reflects the fact that we do have procedures, and they should be followed, such as the specific one we're addressing now. I know in KPFT there have been issues raised that are different from this one about the allocation of the cart times for candidates that has been brought up.
So, this is the individual cart time, is that right?
Yes, that's right, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
But see, it's another matter of how things are being run. Are they being, you know, it's a whole ball game, you know, not just one pitch.
Bill from Stack.
Yeah, Bill.
Yeah.
I ask everybody that we see if we can wrap this up so we can go on with the agenda, because
I would like to do that as well.
Almost an hour on this.
Yeah,
I think we have a consensus on requesting the ID to see to it that people get an hour of airtime with 4 other people in it, and that they do it within 10 days.
Question. Suppose only 4 people are available for a given day. Do we prohibit them from having a session of 3 or 4 people? I think you mean up to no more. If we have these candidate forums with up to 5 people per hour. Up to 5, but not more than 5 people per hour.
Okay.
That's the essence of it.
Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, Arpo.
On that particular thing there, there's a little danger there. I mean, we want to say 5 per hour. What if we have to make sure that if, say, 2 people show up one day, that they don't get half an hour each, which would give them an advantage over the other people who are getting 12 minutes each. So maybe rethink.
Write it as 12 minutes rather than 5 people per hour.
combo.
Maybe that.
Well, 12 minutes time with up to five people in an hour.
This is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I think this is really getting into micromanaging, and it's not going to help things. There's a policy. It was very simply written that, you know, that I don't have it right in front of me at the moment, but I think it's in the motion we passed. Someone can read from the resolve line. It's about, you know, all right, hang on. I'll find it and read it to you. But I think we should just stick with the language that's already in existence and not go around trying to craft some, you know, X minutes and this. I mean, obviously the LESs have to supervise the allocation of time in a way that it's fair. That's not what this motion is talking about. This motion is simply saying they need more total time. There's not enough time for them to work with. Within that, they'll allocate it fairly. We have to assume that. But first, they got to get the time.
I have to say, I think it is something that needs to be addressed. I mean, on the last election at PAI, we had exactly this, and I think there was a time when one guy got the entire thing all to himself. So, a little wording now will probably prevent a problem later, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm sorry, I found the wording. It's the Elections Committee urges managers of the five stations to ensure that in all signal areas, on-air listener candidate debates allocate at least 1 hour for each five candidates. I think that's clear.
That's good. And it seems to me that if you only had two candidates, it's rather obvious that an LES is on top of things will say, okay, you've got 24 minutes.
Right.
I like that. Can we go with that? Is there any objection to going with that wording in support of that wording and asking the IED basically to enforce it and to get confirmation that it's been enforced?
Can we hear read what's written down somewhere?
Well, it isn't written down anywhere, and I'm trying to do it.
That's the problem. We can spend a couple of minutes now. Somebody writes it down and reads it, or we can spend a couple of months fighting about this. Somebody write this down and then read it out, and that'll satisfy us, I think.
Okay, so I'm trying to do that. Give me a minute to finish. We'll just have silence for a minute while I finish writing this down. Okay. Okay, so this is what I've got. The Governance Committee supports the Elections Committee report and request that the IED support the Elections Committee motion and request that the IED see to it that the PDs provide an hour's time for five candidates and that this be done as soon as possible within the next 10 days and that the IEDs and that the IED ask the PDs for written confirmation that it has occurred. Is that good enough?
Friendly amendment.
Yeah.
Put in the LESs as well. you know, the LES is supposed to run the election. The PD's job is not to run the election, but to provide the resources. So I think you want them both to report that they're doing all this stuff.
Yes. He has no authority over the LESs. She has authority over the general managers and the PDs, but specifically in the bylaws, it's supposed to be hands off the election procedure. So I would just as soon leave it out.
I thought Terry Burrichius, somebody reported that Terry Burrichius said that something to the contrary there, that it would be better if the interim ED made this request of people. I thought they were referring to all the people, not just the station management.
He's in direct charge of the LESs, and the board is supposed to be at, the board management is supposed to be at a distance from that, so... I just don't think it's appropriate to have the IED telling the LESs what to do.
Just stop.
Bob, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with you, George. Although I would say, just for courtesy, that it should be CC'd to the NES, just so he's aware of what the committee is passing, but not by way of, you know, a directive to him or to the five LESs who report to him. I mean, he'll deal with them, you know, in whatever way he thinks is appropriate. He said it as a general guideline that they should aim for adhering to this standard. So I think leaving them out is correct, but CCing it.
Okay, and when I send this motion to Summer, which I will do tonight, I will request that she send, as she acts on it, that she send a CC to the election supervisor. Okay, is there any objection to that then? Good, let's move on. I don't know how much time we have. It's now 8:41 here, 9:40. Oh, we have a fair amount of time. We've got at least 45 minutes. So the next item on the agenda came up in the TND, as I said. This was one member on the National Finance Committee felt it was within their prerogative to leak discussions as to what had occurred. I'm not quite sure what the substance of that was, but and when asked about it, insisted that it was within their prerogative to do so. And so the NFC handled that by essentially having no more executive sessions. We were asked to construct something that would deal with the situation. My proposal is what's there. You've all had a chance to read it, I assume. There's two pieces to it, really. Basically, that the respect confidentiality if you're in a committee or a subcommittee, and that confidentially, what the standard for respecting will be, that you don't share anything that hasn't already been agreed to by whatever committee or subcommittee you're part of to be reported out. That's the standard on the PNB. It seems to me that makes sense. It's the group doing it who decides what can go out and what can't. And your responsibility to the group is to go along with what the group says. So I'll just take a stack on that. Is there any objection to it? Let me ask it that way, or any amendments to it?
Marcel.
Yeah, Marcel.
If you had a problem with confidentiality at the MASS committee, at WPFW, and because there doesn't seem to be a consistent policy or confidentiality, I've asked both Summer and Andy Gold to comment on it. I have yet to hear from either of them. I was wondering if I might be able to amend this so that it would also reach over to MASS committees, because so much of the work done there should be done confidentially. It should not leak.
MASS committee is the committee that reviews the GM and the PD?
Management Assessment and Search Committee.
Okay, yeah. Well, this would apply to that.
I just wanted to have it clearly stated. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no.
Point of information, Carolyn here.
Carolyn, let's see. Did I hear Brenda?
Bill.
Okay, Bill. I'll answer Carolyn's your question and then Bill. Good, Carolyn.
Yes, I think this is to Marcel. Is that committee composed of only LSB members, or do you have non-LSB members?
Only LSB members.
Only LSB, and you still have a problem with confidentiality?
Oh, absolutely. We have a huge problem with breaches of confidentiality.
Oh, that's too bad. Okay, thank you.
Brenda, to your back, I'm sorry. I couldn't get the mute button to go off.
So who is that, Brenda?
Brenda, yes.
Okay, Brenda, you're first, then Bill.
Okay. So a couple of things. Well, I do think it's important to not breach confidentiality. I also think that I feel that this motion is kind of like censuring people, and I think it could be used in a wrongful manner where people would assume that somebody were to leak information when it really wasn't them. So I don't think this is a good idea. That's it.
Okay. I'll put myself on the stack to speak to that in a bit. But Bill, go ahead.
Okay, well, it's sort of related to what Marcel said, but I know this is applied at other stations, too. I mean, we really, any committees that are going in executive session should not have any non-LSB members on it, because even if they've signed some agreement to be confidential, you really have no recourse if they don't follow through, if they don't keep it confidential. They don't have the fiduciary duty that LSB members do to always act on behalf of the organization, and so we should always ensure, in addition to what this motion, I mean, the motion's fine the way it is, but we should also ensure that we don't have any non-LSB members on any committees that go into executive session, or those members need to recuse themselves if they go into executive session.
Do you want to make that as a motion, Bill, or an amendment, or just we'll deal with this separately?
Well, we can do it separately, I guess, unless somebody else wants to do it. I don't want to complicate it, but it's just something to be aware of.
Okay, anybody else want to speak to this?
Bob. Well, this is Lydia.
Bob and then Lydia.
Yeah, I don't even understand what Bill said. The personnel committee motion includes listener members, and therefore there's a confidentiality form to be signed by them, and, you know, that we have dealt with at the PNB level and approved. So it was not be appropriate for it to pass something that says that unless you're only LSB members. I might have misunderstood them, but anyway. And then on the other issue, I guess what I think that is lacking is the measure by which, and I think this is what Brenda was referring to, because we've had similar situations here, although historically here, out of the search committees, it's always been, by the way, the LSB members who have been, what can I say? But nevertheless, the determination of, you know, an investigation as to who and what and its impact. Like, if you leak out of executive session that we had pizza while we were deliberating over resumes, obviously that is not a compelling breach. So you know, there's a lot of depth to this, and it's multifaceted. We've never really dealt with all of the facets of it that emerge in the real world and the real committee. So I think that's actually what is lacking from this motion, and I would like to postpone until other people can give those aspects some greater input and thought to it.
Marcel, could be added back to the stack, please.
Do you want to move to postpone it?
Yes, that's my motion to postpone.
Okay. Bob, I think I skipped over you to go to Lydia, so I'm going to go back to you and let you speak to the issue if you want. Or
well, thanks, but I'm going to pass for now.
Okay.
Come back to me at the end.
Okay, so what's on the floor at the moment is the question of whether or not to postpone this. Until when, Lydia?
Well, that's a good question. I would say until the next meeting, and we all can give some thought as to some of these other questions that are arising. because most of us function off of our own particular situation in our own particular station. And but the impact of something we pass could be applied and or misapplied at a, in a different situation. So I will postpone at least till the next meeting. We've given it some thought, and some of us on the CMB can. I'm driving, so I can't send the confidentiality form that the CMB passed, which is.
I think I want to speak. I want to speak both to what Brenda said and to Lydia's. This is not an attempt to handle everything, all the problems we're having with confidentiality. This was an attempt to handle a very specific problem for someone who identified herself as having leaked some information and insisted that it was her right to do so. So it isn't a question of, you know, what's a serious breach and what isn't a serious breach and who did it or who didn't do it. It's a question of establishing a standard, a minimal standard, really, of what confidentiality means. The person states that they're unwilling to do that, then they can't participate. That's what it means. I mean, they could agree to go along with it and, you know, out of a lack of integrity, plan on not doing it anyway, but this doesn't really address that. It just says that if you want to be in the meeting, you have to agree to what the meeting agrees to as to what's going to be public and what isn't. That's really all it says. And, again, it was intended to address a specific problem, which had the National Finance Committee not having any executive committee meetings because that was a way of handling it rather than sort of they couldn't really get the person off the board. There wasn't anything to do. But this would say, okay, if you don't want to do that, if you don't want to participate in this way, then you have to recuse yourself because this is our policy. This is the little thing that we mean by confidentiality. And that's what the motion actually says. And I would speak against postponing it. I think we could do this now, without okay. having to handle all the rest.
Okay. But, and this is Lydia.
Marcel, back please.
Marcel, and
Marcel, and
anyone else who wants to speak to postponing. Okay, then Lydia.
Ahead, I think Marcel was first, and then I'll follow.
Yeah, Marcel, you're next.
Yes, I actually would argue against postponing this motion. This has frozen the math committee at WPFW for over 2 months now because we cannot get members of the committee to agree that there needs to be some level of confidentiality, whether they sign the agreement or not, because as we all know, there's very little recourse in our confidentiality agreements. There has to be some consensus that we'll have some standard way of operating that doesn't breach confidentiality. And I have found it very difficult to get anything in place. And what is most frustrating is that I have been asking the IED and general counsel about this for over 2 months on 11 different occasions. I don't think for another month or a month and a half will make any difference because it will raise its head again on the next PNB or the very next meeting. And when these breaches occur, that we have some exposure here, and it's ridiculous that we are subjected to this.
Okay.
Lydia. And Tracy. What I wanted to say is, for example, we received an email on the list from Carolyn who raised an issue that her understanding is that you can reveal how you vote, that you personally can reveal how you vote. Mm-hmm. I have heard different attorneys opine that that's not the case, and some, you know, and probably some say that that's okay. Obviously, Carolyn is getting that from someone. She had one other point. So those are kind of the fine points that somehow need to be addressed. But there's already a confidentiality form and process in place. What Marcel is talking about is that there's a lack of enforcement, and I don't see why we're passing an additional motion, it would seem to me that the use of confidentiality applies to the PMB as well as all of its committees. Is that the only question, that the wording in the use of the confidentiality agreement is not specific to committees and subcommittees?
Tracy might be able to respond to that, Lydia, so I'm going to just let her put his next phone stack anyway. Tracy?
Hi, George, was there something specific Lydia said that you wanted me to respond to? I'm sorry, I was a little in and out. I had something I wanted to say. What is it
that is not covered by the fact that the PMB passed the confidentiality agreement before? Is it that you don't think it included the committees? Is that it?
No. The simple fact of the matter regarding the Finance Committee was that after a member of the Finance Committee directly reported to a number of people not on the Finance Committee or the PNB or even the LSB for that matter, directly quoted what people said in a closed session of the Finance Committee, basically gave a blow-by-blow report of the meeting by email, and then published a direct quote by the ED in an email newsletter or allowed to be published. And basically the perceptions of people on the committee, a number of them, was that they didn't want to meet in closed session with that person anymore because they felt like anything they said could end up published on a website. And that basically they would not. The particular rules and Penn Roberts rules make it fairly clear that committee itself lacks the power to commit any sort of disciplinary action against its own members. Committees just don't have that power. So we talked to the person for a whole bunch of hours, basically I think about four of them, trying to come to some mutual understanding so this wouldn't happen again. We were unable to. Person thought they didn't do anything wrong, and yes, they would do it again. And given that, we did the only thing that we could do, which the Finance Committee hasn't met in closed session for, let's see, the last time would have been about March, so we're now into 6 months. So I want to echo what Marcel said, which is it's an ongoing problem. It's affecting a number of committees. What we're doing isn't working, and postponing's not the answer. In terms of what needs to happen, I think George's motion is good. I think it makes it clear, and it provides a certain amount of empowerment to the notion that when we're unable to resolve something by talking, that there needs to be an action that can be taken. So in this case, this would allow, if it were necessary, for the majority of the Finance Committee to meet in closed session if necessary, because we can't force people to participate if they're unwilling to because they feel like one member isn't honoring the agreements. And that was the situation that we've been in for months and months and months, and we've managed, but I don't think it should go on forever. So thank you, Marcel, for what you said, and if the motion has any helpful impact on the things that you're struggling with in D.C., that's great. I didn't know that, but I'm, you know, pleased to hear that it will have impact in other places and that our problems are sometimes the same and maybe things can be reciprocal and helpful on both counts. So I'm arguing against postponing. I think George is putting forward a pretty straightforward motion and one that we should all be able to support.
Does anyone else want to speak to the question of postponing?
Bob Pistek.
Good, Bob.
Okay. Well, first I just want to address what Marcel said about the local committee, because Lydia's mentioned this, but I just want to make it really direct that my understanding from what I heard that the Personnel Committee recommended and the PNB adopted, I think over the summer, a very explicit motion for local LSB management search committees that require confidentiality agreements and require a provision that the person acknowledged that violating the terms of the agreement may result in their being removed by the LSB from the committee or barred from future participation in committee work. So I think that policy is already clear on that scenario that Marcel is describing. So that was one point. As far as George's proposal, I don't necessarily have any objection to it. It seems like it's an infinitesimal part of the problem, because it's the people who are bold enough to announce in advance, oh, I will never follow any confidentiality in the meeting that I'm about to enter into. I will grant that maybe there was a scenario where that happened once or twice, but it's not really the issue. I mean, the issue is people who, after the meeting, decide that, you know, this is so important, or whatever their rationale is, that they're going to release it. So that motion doesn't deal with that situation at all. But then again, there's already motions like the one I just referred to. You know, there's also broader motions the PNB has adopted on methods to ensure confidentiality. So I think, you know, sometimes when things aren't going well, the tendency is to just pass another motion thinking that'll solve anything, when really there's some deeper issues going on. So that's why I tend to support Lydia's idea of postponing, to kind of look into this a little bit more and compile what are all the existing motions, and are there gaps, are there weaknesses that they need to be fixed, rather than some tiny piece of the problem, which is the rare person who pre-announces their defiance.
Bill, who's next?
Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Bob in that there's probably not too many people that are going to do this, but I tell you, all it takes is one person on the LSB, and this happened on our LSB when we had a new person come on the board a couple of years ago. She refused to sign any confidentiality agreement. She refused to agree to keep anything in executive session confidential, and this went on for months. So we weren't able to have any executive sessions for a number of months until she finally agreed to do that. So even one person can block an LSB, a whole LSB, from taking action in executive session. So I think we do need this, and I'm opposed to postponing also.
Did I hear Carol?
Yeah, thanks. I'm opposed to postponing too. Any refinements that we think of can always be added later on, but I do think it's important to get it in place. And is it quite explicit? I don't remember the exact wording. That any such person will be, what, asked to leave the committee?
They'll be required to recuse themselves, yes.
Recuse themselves, okay, thank you.
In the executive sessions of the committee, they can stay on the committee, so they're not being thrown off the committee, but they can't show up in the executive session.
Okay.
Anyone else want to speak to this? Question of postponing. Okay. I gather we don't have Well, there are certainly objections to postponing, so let's take a vote on that. Colleen, would you call the roll?
Sure.
A yes vote is to postpone, and a no vote is not to postpone.
I'm sorry, a yes is what?
A yes is to postpone till the next meeting, and a no vote is not to postpone. Colleen?
Okay, Ken Aaron, Cheryl McAmier,
no.
Carolyn Burden,
no.
Lydia Brazone,
yes.
Is that a yes?
That's a yes.
Bill Crozier,
no.
Kathy Davis. Kathy Davis, Sasha Fertran,
yes.
Joseph Kay,
I'll pass.
Lizette King, Bob Letter,
yes.
R. Paul Martin,
no.
Brenda Medina,
yes.
Was that a yes?
Yes.
Colleen O'Brien, no. Marcel Reed?
No.
George Ryder?
No.
Tracy Rosenberg? John Wenger?
No, don't postpone.
Okay.
Hi, Colleen. This is Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
Colleen, this is Tracy.
Yes.
My phone just dropped off. I think you might have called me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did, Tracy. What is your vote?
I'd like to vote no to postpone. Thanks.
Okay. George, I have 9 no and 4 yes.
Joseph K. passed, so we need to find out how he wants to vote.
No.
Okay, Joseph? No. Okay, so that's 10 no and 4 yes.
Okay. So the motion now is in front of us. Is there any amendments to it, or can we go to a vote on that? Anyone want to speak to anyone? Are there any amendments to it? Okay. Hearing none. Are there any objections to the motion as it stands? Good. Hearing none, that motion is passed and will be forwarded to the PNB promptly for the next meeting. We have about 25 minutes. We have another motion on the floor. Kathy's not here to promote it. Does anyone want to speak to it?
Well, Tracy for the sec.
Okay.
I think what I'll do is I'll motivate it a little on Kathy's behalf because I've heard her motivate it before and I know where she's coming from. I'm not sure that procedurally we're quite in the right place with the motion yet. But let me sort of say what she would say if she were here, I think, which is that the intent of the motion is basically to set up some sort of a process where we could address scenarios where individuals that basically have been severed from the organization in a negative fashion for cause or for litigation or for violence, assault, threats, that, you know, problems of various kinds, and there is friction between the organization and the individual, should in some way not necessarily be able to recycle themselves right back through the governance system as we have seen happen from time to time, with, you know, sometimes implied and sometimes right out and out stated intent to, for, you know, for revenge, for negativity, for making trouble, etc. And that this is sort of not the way the governance system is supposed to work. And, you know, create some problems. And that basically she wants to look at whether there is some way that we can prevent that from happening as frequently as it seems to happen. And that, you know, looking after the best interests of the foundation kind of necessitates saying, hey, there's a problem here. That said, there is also California Corporations Code, which has a lot of clauses regarding membership rights in foundations, not all of which I think have been clearly integrated into this motion. There is a little bit of work going on to try to bring the motion into compliance with the code, but I think at this point it's a little bit incomplete. So the question sort of becomes whether we want to try to cobble away at that tonight, but I think it's probably at least a 30-minute process and probably much more than that, or whether it makes sense to postpone and possibly get an amended motion to look over prior to that meeting. I'm leaning towards the fact that it's already kind of late and we put some other stuff in front of it, that unfortunately it may not be realistic to kind of tackle that whole piece tonight because I think that it's going to take some time. But I'm not going to make a motion to postpone. I'm just going to put that information on the floor and the committee can do with it what it wants.
Carolyn on the staff.
Okay, Carolyn.
Yes, that was a good motion and the problem. And I'm one of the people sort of trying to wrestle with this. It's not ready for prime time yet, so I would move to... do we have a meeting before a month from now?
We don't, unless we schedule it.
We don't.
We do have a meeting scheduled for mid-December. That might be a long time to postpone, so maybe this calls for a meeting sooner than that. But
yeah, okay, I will withdraw then. I will not. I was going to postpone, but that's too far away, and this affects the current election. It's probably even more important than the first motion we dealt with, so maybe we should just tackle it. Thank you.
And my phone's going to get out.
I'll speak to this.
Yeah. And then, can I put myself back on the staff, George? I have a suggestion.
You can. Is there anyone else who hasn't spoken and wants to speak to her?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go ahead, Tracy.
Okay. Well, I sort of agree with Carolyn that it is time sensitive, and I sort of agree with all kinds of people that it's awfully late to start it tonight and that there's a lot of work that needs to get done. And I'm personally not in a real good position to do it tonight. Would it be out of line to propose that we do a special meeting within the next week or two to get this done? I hate to do that. I'm not quite seeing how to do it tonight.
I would agree with that. Thank you.
Well, we can certainly propose it. If the committee wants to do it, we'll do it. Let me sort of bring up the website and see if there's any times available.
Yeah, I feel kind of crappy, but...
Well,
But the code is complicated, and this is the kind of thing you have to get right.
Okay, so... Oh, we have...
Oh.
Okay. The rest of the week is actually clear, but that's because it's...
Yeah. It may be 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I think for my case, it was a little 6 weeks.
There's a clear open is Friday the 30th of November. There's no anything else. And after that, there's and Wednesday of December, that'd be the 4th and 5th. There's the following Friday, which is the 7th. Those are the only ones available for the 17th, which is the next regular meeting of the Governance Committee. So as a practical matter, if we don't want to try to schedule either the November 30th or Tuesday.
Someone
needs to mute, please.
Oh, maybe we should do it tonight. Yikes. I don't know.
My own feeling is that this can't possibly pass tonight, frankly. There's too much to be done, and it's too simple. I'll go with what you all want.
Point of information?
Yeah, Bob?
Stop. Yeah, a statement was made earlier about that has some time sensitivity because of the election. I think that was Carolyn. Could you explain what the connection is between this motion and the elections? And can the person who's having background conversations please put their phone on mute?
Somebody on the speakerphone, please need to stop that. Mute their phone.
If you're hearing a conversation other than what the committee is doing, please mute your phone.
They've probably stepped away.
Somebody put their phone down and they're having an argument.
Carolyn, over the... Are you still there?
She's been vacant,
hasn't it? Carolyn. Well, okay. Bob, I don't know, but in any case, the motion can't possibly be made retroactive, so I can't see how it can possibly be, you know, relevant to anything happening in this. Does anyone else want to speak to the to this motion?
Well, this is Lydia.
Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, because besides California Corp, you have there are a lot of legal issues here. This would inevitably have to go to council anyway for an opinion. And in terms of membership, then you get into election law and all kinds of other issues because you cannot. I mean, if you're going to disqualify someone as a member to run, if that's the issue, then that has to be done up front. It can't be done once they're accepted, et cetera. So I don't see the pressing relevance in terms of the election.
Okay,
Tracy's got a check.
Well, it's gotten quiet there in the background. Excellent. Go ahead, Tracy.
I mean, when I was talking about time sensitivity, what I was talking about, I'm not, you know, channeling what Carolyn said. I don't know what she was thinking, but this motion was put on the PNB agenda in 2010. It's now 2012. I mean, it really is time to either amend it, substitute it, put it up, put it down. It was referred to the governance committee, which is fine, but I think we do have an obligation to act on it in a timely manner. And frankly, you know, it was done in response to a problem that was perceived by a member several years ago. It's certainly still a problem. So I don't think that we necessarily benefit by doing the eternal postpone. I do think that it's going to be a long process to deal with the motion. The legal review stuff can be done on the PNB level. It's not necessary for the committee to, if there's a legal problem, it can get fixed on the national level. I think what is appropriate for this committee to do is to review the California Code as best it understands it and, look for a motion that will work and will be fair to all parties and that basically puts in the due process elements that need to be in any motion of this kind, but also, put the best interests of the foundation first and sort of, stop the revolving merry-go-round because that really isn't servicing anybody but a small group of people. And it's not the way that not-for-profit organization should run. So is it possible for us, what were the dates we're talking about, George, November 30th or December 4th?
Weekdays is just November 30th or December, I think either 3rd or 4th. I'm sorry, 4th, or, the 4th is a Tuesday, the 5th is a Wednesday, and the 30th is a Friday.
This is Lydia.
Well, I'm inclined to think we should do one of those and get this piece of business taken care of.
This is Lydia.
Just a minute, Lydia. Do you want to make a motion to that effect, Tracy?
Yeah, I think I do. Fridays are hard. I know that. I hate them as much as anyone. So I'm going to make a motion for, I believe the election committee has Tuesday, December 4th, so I'll go ahead and make a motion for Wednesday, December 5th.
Okay.
And I think that will give some time to come up with a couple of amendments and other type language to kind of tighten the motion up.
So Tracy's motion is to create a meeting on December 5th, in which we would consider some version of this. Anyone want to speak to that? Lydia, you were...
Yes, I was just going to say that I don't know how many people we have on right now, how many members we have on right now.
Maybe in a moment.
Because I would instead we do this by email so that we can have all of our as many members as we can on the committee if we are going to have this special. I'm personally opposed to the special meeting, but. Regardless,
I think the best way is to consult the entire committee on the dates and maybe give two or three options.
We have 14 members on the committee that are on now.
Hi.
On the staff, please.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
And then Bob.
I'm sorry I got off. I was trying to reach Kathy, but I could not do that. The fifth would be good, and I think it would be important to meet. And that's far enough so that we will be do some work between then and now and be ready.
Okay, Bob?
Okay, point of information and then a statement. Carolyn, when you made the statement earlier about this is important because of the elections, I didn't understand how this motion relates to the elections. Could you explain that a little bit?
Yes, if whoever's playing with the buttons can stop. It relates especially to a candidate, actually, in our station.
Well, I still don't understand. So it relates to some candidate, and therefore, what would be the result of passing this motion in terms of that or any candidate?
Well, I think we could decide that as we work out the motion and after it's passed. But that was a concern that I had this year and a couple of years before. This is not, not a new item.
Okay, because you're still not answering the question. Because unless we know what the urgency is, then there's no reason to have this special meeting. And I don't see how passing a motion is going to be able to be used retroactively against somebody who's already running for the board.
Maybe it won't, but it will be used prospectively, and people might think twice about the kind of behavior that this addresses. I think we postponed this long enough. The idea has been kicking around for a very long time. So I think the fact that I said what I said shouldn't be used to not consider the motion at the moment.
Okay. Well, now I'll make my statement. I am adamantly opposed to a second meeting in December. Let's remember that because of the election postponement, every LSB, to my knowledge, or perhaps I shouldn't speak for all LSBs, I have heard that most, if not all LSBs, will be meeting twice in December, partly to vote on the bylaws amendments, partly because the election certification is so late that there will often be the standard meeting early in the month, and then there'll be the seating of the new board later in the month. Of course, we then have, a large number of people have holiday obligations, travel, et cetera, et cetera. And nothing that has been said has shown me why a two-week difference between the meeting on the 5th and meeting on a regularly scheduled date on the 17th is going to make the slightest difference in an issue that, has been around for some time now. And there's no reason for us to drop everything, impose another burden on ourselves for something that is not urgent, in terms of some immediate deadline. So I will strongly oppose having two meetings in December.
I'm sorry, who was that?
That was Tracy for the staff.
Okay, anyone else want to speak to this who hasn't already? Sorry, who was that?
Okay.
Say it again, I didn't get it. Is there anyone else who wants to speak to this?
Just Tracy.
Okay, Tracy, you're on.
Well, just as a practical kind of thing, if we have no other pressing business, and perhaps we will and perhaps we won't, it depends if the BNB refers other stuff to us on the 29th, then there's no particular reason we have to meet on the 17th, and given the requirement for the LSBs to meet between the 17th and the 31st at the end of the month, might be, and the fact that that's much closer to Christmas and the holidays and when people actually do go away, we might benefit by meeting on the 5th and then choosing not to meet on the 17th. Might be easier on everybody's schedule.
Anyone else want to speak?
I'd be an advocate for that, and we'd get this last piece of business taken care of. And then if there's nothing pressing, no reason to meet on the 17th, and we can clear our holiday schedules a bit.
Oh, wonderful.
I'd like to speak.
Okay, Bill and then Joseph.
Actually, I was going to say about what Tracy said, because it makes sense to meet on the 5th. The last PMB meeting in December is the 13th. So if we don't take this up till the 17th, then the PMB, the earliest they could take it up is in January. So I'd like to get this over with and out of the way. So I suggest we meet, unless we meet in late November. You know, that last Friday in November would be okay with me, but I think the 5th sounds like a good day.
Joseph?
Yeah, I agree that we should ought to meet earlier rather than later and get it out of the way. And perhaps we could also address some of the motion that I proposed with regard to conflict resolution.
Well, if we get a quick vote on this, we possibly could.
That's great.
Anyone else want to speak to this question of having another meeting on the 5th? And postponing discussion of this till then.
It's not fair. I like it.
Okay. So, Colleen, would you take a vote on this? A yes vote means that we'll have a vote on the 5th, and a no vote means, sorry, a yes vote means we'll have a meeting on the 5th, and a no vote means we'll have a meeting, a regularly scheduled meeting on the 17th.
Does anyone oppose? Want it?
George, I'd like to point a clarification.
We were opposed, I thought. Is that Marcel?
Yes, it's Marcel.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that if we have the meeting on the 5th, then we have no meeting on the 17th. Is that correct?
No. The meeting on the 17th was already scheduled. We can unschedule it, but that would be a separate question. The meeting is we're scheduling an extra meeting on the 5th. I mean, if that meeting occurs and we get done what we need to get done, we can decide not to meet on the 17th. But at the moment, we have already scheduled the 17th. We decided that a while back. So we'd have to undecide that in order to, as a separate matter.
I agree. We should postpone the decision about that till the 5th when we have that meeting, if we have that meeting on the 5th.
Mrs. Bob?
Yeah, Bob?
Yeah, well, this comes back to my original point. So then the door remains open to two meetings in December, and, you know, we can see we're pretty much at adjournment time now. We have a couple of items that we haven't gotten to tonight. We've already heard that this motion we're discussing now is very complex and involves legal issues that are going to take a large amount of time. So to me, the handwriting is on the wall that if we meet on the 5th, we will absolutely meet on the 17th as well. So it's not substituting one for the other. It's having two meetings in December, back to where I started, that's just an unacceptable burden on many of us in an extremely busy month.
Does anyone else want to speak? Okay. So does anyone want to amend? No, I'm going to leave that alone.
No, thank you.
Let's vote.
Colleen, would you just call the roll? So a yes vote means we will meet on the 5th, and a no vote means we will not.
Okay. Ken Aaron? Sharam Agamir?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lydia Brazone?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis. Sasha Futron.
No.
Joseph Kay.
Yes.
Lizette King. Bob Letter.
No.
R. Paul Martin.
Yes.
Brenda Medina?
No.
Colleen O'Brien? Yes. Marcel Reed?
No.
George Ryder?
I'll pass.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
John Wenger?
Yes.
George Ryder?
Abstain.
Okay. Five.
Yeah.
Done.
So we will meet on the 15th. All right, we'll meet on the 5th. And we have about 2 minutes to adjournment. The first item on the agenda will be the one we've just been talking about, and the next one will be the one that Joseph put on this agenda. And, of course, we'll be able to take any other motions that people want at that time. So,
John, for the deal quickly.
Go ahead.
George, would you do me the favor of emailing at least me and perhaps the whole committee the text of the motion we passed? It's going to go to Summer, but it's really hard to get a hold of Summer. And
yes.
So if you can email it to us today and not wait for the minutes, because I'm going to talk to people about it, the text of the motion
that
I remember tonight, and I don't have it.
Yes, I will do that.
That'd be great.
Anybody else? We've got about 2 minutes. Okay.
George, the email address for the govlist at kpft.org comes back.
kpftx.org.
Kpftx? Okay, X. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all. I think it's time to adjourn the meeting. We'll meet again on the 5th, and I'll send out a notice to the whole committee that that's the
case. Thank you, George.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Good night.